Now.
Hey guys, this is episode 20 of the Midcasters. Welcome back. I'm your co-host, Jalen, always joined by the amazing
Craig, one of your favorite nerd, comic book nerds, and film nerds.
And today we're going to make this a special Christmas episode. And also just a little bit of news and maybe talk about the theater etiquette that has been very lacking this year and just in general. So let's dive into it. DC with Creature Commandos. Is it starting off with a boom or a bust, Craig?
It's on my list. I've heard great things. One of my mutuals revealed it and absolutely loves it. So I have got to get on it as soon as possible. I'll probably watch it after this episode ends. But yes, I've got to watch it.
What are you hoping for with the show? Also, how do you see it coming into live action, even if it does?
Honestly, I would like them to keep the animated and the film stuff, the live action stuff, separate. Like Marvel's What If is connected to the MCU. It's essentially What If, Killmonger killed Black Panther and took over Wakanda, like all the stuff that happened in the movie. It's What If scenarios on that, and I like it. I just don't like when they try to connect the animated stuff to the film stuff and just change certain things.
I think the What If stuff is kind of foreshadowing what we're going to see in the MCU, because like when I first saw the first season before Spider-Man No Way Home came out, I'm like, this is kind of telling us what's going to happen. And I hate that they use like the big name actors for it, because they could continue doing it with like smaller, like Lake Bell, perfect. Like I'm obviously not going to ask for $50 million an episode, but I think if they got smaller named people, I think they can continue the story, kind of build off the comic series. I kind of agree with you on the DC Creature Commandos. I haven't planned on watching it because I'm just like not an anime fan. I haven't even watched season 2 of What If, and I don't even plan to watch season 3. I know, I'm really bad at that. But it's just not my vibe. Season 1's okay, but it's just not my vibe entirely. And there's other things that I can be doing. But I do like how James Gunn said he wants to have the continuity and being consistent with like who plays that character in live action and in the anime thing. So animation. And I'm like, I completely agree with that, because like, I don't even know how many Batmans there are, but I'm like, it's kind of confusing when you only watch one thing and then go see another thing. And it's just like a completely different person.
I completely agree.
Oh my gosh. But moving into our next topic, theater etiquette. The Rock and Cynthia Erivo, I don't know why they decided to open up their mouths, but they did. And they said, you pay money to go into the theaters, you should be able to sing. And to that I say, shut the fuck up. We don't want to hear you sing. I'm paying to hear Ariana Grande sing the song. I'm not paying to hear you act like you're an American Idol. You're not Kelly Clarkson. Sit down. I understand if it's a sing-along show. I do. That's fine. Do that. But if it's not sing-along, sit down, be quiet. You don't sing in a Broadway show, even though I have heard that people are singing in those shows and you should be kicked out immediately. I think there needs to be like an Alamo Drafthouse type of situation where they're like, yeah, we're kicking you out. We're going to check. And if we see you on your phone, we see you talking, we see you singing, you're leaving.
That is okay. That is absolutely hilarious, and I 100% agree. I think the last disturbance I got is when I went to see Alien Wilderness with my brother. Mm-hmm. And the dude sitting next to me was with his girlfriend, and the jump scares weren't even scaring me. His reaction to the jump scares was scaring me. I'm like, honestly, dude,
that's valid. Shut up. I don't think Alien is a jump scare movie in general. I think he just wanted it to be dramatic.
Right.
And if you're going to do stuff like that, go home and watch the movie.
Exactly. And when I went to see Ant-Man and Wasp Quantumanium, there were a row of young teenagers, and okay. I guess they were with their mom or aunt or whoever, and they were constantly on their phone, and they kept getting up and walking out of the theater. It's like, why'd you come in if you were constantly going to be on your phone and walk in and out of the theater?
I noticed that during like Oppenheimer. Like, it's a 3-hour movie. I completely understand it. I appreciate it. But why are you on your phone? Why are you taking pictures? Sit down. Be quiet. You don't do that during a Martin Scorsese movie. I didn't see one person take out their phone for Killers, The Flower Moon. I mean, it's not like that type of movie where you take your phone out. But still, like, respect the art and the artists that are in the movie. Sit there silently, patiently, and respectfully. And also, one thing that gets me is, like, I'm fine if you bring, like, outside food in. But where I draw the line is if it's, like, caramel corn and it's, like, the most crunchiest thing. Like, you're eating rocks. You take your shoes off. You have a blanket and a pillow. I'm like, this is not your house. That's right. Gross. Or, like, bring, like, egg salad or something fishy. Like, be quiet. Oh, stop eating. Like, there shouldn't... I'm all for the whole thing, like, you shouldn't be eating in a movie theater. Because, like, there needs to be no distractions. It needs to be silent.
Right. I do think they do sell a lot. At certain movie theaters, they do sell, like, blankets and stuff like that. But for me, it, like my mom, she takes a blanket everywhere she goes because she's cold all the time.
I think that just kind of is gross, to be honest.
But sorry. She doesn't... she's like a huge germaphobe. She'll wipe everything down. She constantly has like wipes and Germex on her all the time.
Yeah. It's like, what gets me, like, okay, you're taking like a blanket or a pillow like off your own bed into a public space where I can 99.999% guarantee that they're not wiping anything down. Like with Clorox wipes, spraying it. And even if they are, it's a dirty rag. And I think that's what gets me. Like, the whole purpose of the movie experience is just everything. I remember when I was like working at a gym, and they said the experience starts when you're in the parking lot, and it goes from point A to point B. Whether you're in the locker room, the sauna, the bathroom, like, it needs to be at all aspects of what you're doing. And I think that's just like where we forgot. I think before COVID, we never notice it, but like after COVID, we're like, notice how dirty people are.
Yeah.
And like, you just don't want to be around that. And like, I'd rather watch the movie at home and like not have seen the movie in theater.
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand that.
What's the worst theater experience that you've had that's not a Marvel movie, etiquette wise? You can't say Endgame, no Marvel.
I wasn't going to say that.
Probably, I feel like Endgame would be up there for everybody. That's not the point.
I'm still up. That time travel shit fucked with my head.
Oh, gosh.
Probably the Alien Romulus dude, when I went to see Alien Romulus, or when I went to see The Creator with John David Washington. Uh-huh. It was close to empty, but there were a few like teens in there, and they kept getting up and walking past me. I wanted to slap the hell out of him.
My dad has no problem with telling people to shut up. I think for me, I have two. I don't even remember the movie. This is like when they didn't have assigned seating, and my dad like is very cautious where he goes. He looks down at the seat, sees white, and we all know what that means on a seat. He sees there, and then I went to go sit behind this guy, and he kept itching his head, and my dad was like, don't sit there. And he tells me why. And I was like, why are we going out if we have these type of things and we're doing these types of things? Like, I'm sorry, if you have something that's infectious, you shouldn't be going out. And if you're going to be doing these things in the theater, do it at home. It's cleaner. Maybe, depending on you. And then one would be Asteroid City. Movie had like maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes left in it. And I had seen it already, so I went to go see an early showing of it. a whole family walks in talking loudly, turns on their flashlight. And I'm like, get the fuck out of the theater. What are we doing? The movie's not over. You clearly see it's there. I don't care if you have kids. That sounds like a you problem, not a me problem. I was enjoying being in the theater by myself until they came in.
Yeah, that would be, I'm going to start telling people to shut up because I had to do that.
Get the fuck out. It's not your showing.
Right. Like, I had to do that when I went to see, what was it? Transformers 1 with my brother. I had to tell these group of kids to hush, and they stopped talking after that.
I'll say shh really loudly, or I'll do something. I'll notice when people, like, kick me in the back of my chair before they have that. And ever since then, I'm like, I choose a seat that has nobody behind it because that just aggravates the ever-living crap out of me. I remember seeing Licorice Pizza, and don't ask me why. Me and my mom had no idea what it was about. We were utterly disappointed. AMC, if you hear this, you should be utterly ashamed with yourself that that theater smelt like socks and pickles and sweat and boys. Every AMC I have gone to has never been a pleasant experience. Ever in my entire life, they should be absolutely ashamed how they behave in these theaters, how they take care of them. I once saw a rat in the AMC by me. Yeah, and this is Arizona. There's no rats here. There should be no rats here.
That is grotesque.
I was. This is why I don't see movies. I'm not like a big like advocate for like pirating movies, but like. How I go about it is like, I don't want to hear you sing. I don't want to hear you yell. And they took the ability away to see a movie 3 months after the fact where you can go into the theater and like nobody's there. That's what I did for Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows Part 2. Nobody was there. Waited, like my dad, he's one of those that likes to wait a few weeks, maybe a few months after it comes out to go see it in the movies. And you can't even do that anymore. So I'm like, well, I might as well just watch it at home. Even if it's not on streaming.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't advocate for pirating movies. They're poor quality. I realize that when I watch them.
But the point is, everyone, shut up. We don't want to hear you sing at all.
And if you want me to give my money to the movie and not pirated it, then shut up, please.
And if you're going to bring food, break anything, don't break anything that makes too much noise or smells bad.
No fish, no eggs, no chomping loudly. You don't need to be shaking your foot 50,000 times, checking your phone. Be quiet.
I might have to start carrying like some Lysol wipes with me. Now that we're having this conversation, I might have to carry some sanitation wipes with me from now on.
Yeah, everybody get Clorox wipes, the travel kind, and then get wet ones for your hands. Remember, they are not the same thing. Do not clean your hands with bleach. Clean your hands with wet ones or hand sanitizer, or go wash your hands. And the fact that people don't really wash their hands, and learning that people sit raw dog on toilet seats in public, I'll have a stroke. I don't get it. This is why I don't go to the movie theaters anymore. I need to cancel my AMC Stubs membership because it's not even worth it anymore.
Ugh.
Alamo Drafthouse, if you hear this, please open up a theater in the west side of Phoenix. So that way I can be around good crowds. And if they're bad apples, then kick their asses out. Maybe even drive in. I'll do a drive in because then I can be in the comfort of my own car, but probably still would be annoyed.
Right.
Oh my gosh. But let's move on to some positive things. Christmas is nearly here. What movies and TV shows are technically Christmas themed, but people don't typically consider it? So like Die Hard for me, Iron Man 3, obviously Hawkeye. But what about for you?
The Hawkeye, definitely. They even talk about celebrating Christmas together, even though the whole show isn't about, even though the whole show isn't
saving Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Eyes Wide Shut is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
And I don't know if a lot of people would want to sit through that, considering how long the movie is, and it's freaking crazy as hell. Mm-hmm. But I'm still kind of little bitter that film did not get any Oscar nominations.
That's valid. I think Anyone But You I consider a Christmas movie because it's in Boston and they leave during Christmas time. But in Australia, it's technically summer, but it's still Christmas, if that makes sense. And plus it came out like Christmas Day. I feel like any movie that comes out Christmas Day, I consider a Christmas movie. So like Passengers, I might be one of the few that actually really, really enjoyed that movie. Obviously the movie Joy, Silver Linings Playbook, even though it's kind of like a technically Thanksgiving movie, I consider it a Christmas movie. And it's also part of my petition with just myself to get a Jennifer Lawrence in Christmas Day movies again.
The Passengers.
It has Chris Pratt in it.
I'll pass.
No, it's really good. Okay. So what happens is that either you pay to be on the ship or you have the skill set necessary to go. You're on the ship. You're basically in like a cryo state until like you get close enough to this new planet, which they're planning to colonize and like learn more about it. But he wakes up early. And I don't remember how long he's stuck alone for, but he ends up waking her up, and then she finds out. But it's a good movie. That's also the movie that he allegedly cheated on Anna Faris with, but it's still a good movie.
Not well, fucked up. And so European colonization, but in space?
No, it's like a planet that's uninhabited, and they want to build like a whole, they want to just, I guess, I don't really know how to explain it. Like they want to colonize it, but they don't. It's just kind of going back to the roots of like early America, just like building your life there, starting over. And that's what she was doing. He had the skill set. I don't remember. I think he was like not a carpenter. He was like a builder or like a mechanic or something. And he's like alone, but like the only person he has to talk to is like a robot.
Yeah.
But it's like in the shape of a human, obviously. And he like walks around, he like debates waking her up, and then he ends up doing it. She's like mad at him in the beginning when she does finally figure it out, but they have to like come together to save the ship because an asteroid hit it, which caused him to wake up.
Okay.
Yeah, it came out on Christmas Day. I really enjoyed that. Bombshell, that came out on Christmas Day. I love Christmas Day movies. I consider every single movie that comes out on Christmas Day a Christmas movie.
Batman Returns is a Christmas movie.
Bombshell is a Christmas movie.
Is that the one with
Nicole Kidman? It's about the Fox news scandal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I have that on my list.
It's really good. Margot Robbie, Nicole Kidman, and Charlize Theron are in it. I really also loved Joy, and that's basically Jennifer Lawrence. She is the woman that's behind making the mop that you can like squeegee out without having to touch it.
Yeah.
That one's a good Christmas movie. Unfortunately, Bradley Cooper's in it a little bit. I'm kidding. Silver Linings Playbook. That's one of my favorite movies of all time, even though it's made by a horrible human. David O. Russell. Mm-hmm.
I'll add those to my list.
I think we need a petition to bring Jennifer Lawrence back in Christmas movies. That's just my thing. Who is an actor or a director that you would love to see direct / act or act in a Christmas movie?
God, if we're talking like comedy, mm-hmm. I would love to. I don't know if he's done it before, but I'd love to see what's his name? Seth Rogen.
He's been in a Christmas movie.
Which one?
The Night Before.
I would like to see him dabble more. I love his sense of humor. He has not made a bad comedy movie, in my opinion.
Remember when he did the interview for it came out on Christmas Day on YouTube and like North Korea threatened us?
I didn't even see that.
That movie was not as funny as it should have been because they gave James Franco more of the funniness. And I feel like Seth Rogen was better with that.
Yeah. Jonah Hill.
Yes.
Both of them are more producers than writers than directors. But I would love to see them do something comedic-wise with a Christmas film.
I think they need to do something similar to A Night Before because it has Anthony Mackie, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And they kind of just hang out like the whole night before Christmas and they get into a whole bunch of trouble. It's so funny.
I think I've seen clips of that. I have not sat down to watch the whole thing.
I think you'd like it.
Anything with Seth Rogen in it, I am absolutely here for.
I want to see Saoirse Ronan do another Christmas movie. Not like similar to Little Women, but just something maybe like a rom-com. That would be fun to watch. I don't think Scarlett Johansson's done a Christmas movie yet. I'd love to see that. Elizabeth Olsen. I feel like technically some of the movies Margot Robbie has been in are Christmas movies or give Christmas vibes off of it. But I'd like to see her do it. I feel like we want to see more rom-coms, like original rom-coms, or like an action Christmas movie, not like Red One. Just something unique that doesn't give Hallmark or Lifetime vibes.
Yeah, because I freaking hate those. Ooh, Florence Pugh would be really good at one.
That's not Little Women. I don't know if like actors look for Christmas movies to do like their entire career or if they like try to stay away from it just because of like how cliche they are. But I feel like it should be mandatory. It's like a horror movie. Like every actor used to do a horror movie before they became an actor. Like you have The Leprechaun with Jennifer Aniston or that one movie At the End of the Street or something like that with Jennifer Lawrence. You had one with Elizabeth Olsen. Like I just feel like that should be a thing. Like you should at least do one Christmas movie in your career.
Yeah.
Directing, I think Noah Baumbach. Baumbach, I never pronounce his name right, would do really good with it.
Ooh. Oh, see, the directing one, that's a little more difficult.
That would bring also, like that type of pizzazz.
Yeah. Also, in my opinion, The Hateful Eight is a Christmas movie. But directing wise, Greta Gerwig, I think, would make a great one.
She did make Little Women, so I think she'd make a really good one next to it.
I mean, isn't that all like each season, winter, summer, spring, fall?
No, I don't think. I think yes, but it ends on Christmas Day, and there's like a lot of snow in it towards the end, and that's like after the sister dies. Spoilers if you haven't seen the one from any decade that's ever come out.
I still need to watch the original.
I think I saw the one with Judy Garland. I did not like it. Yeah, it's not that good.
Other than Greta Gerwig, I can't really think of anyone specific that would be really great at directing a Christmas theme movie.
Jon Favreau could do another one because he did Elf and I really enjoyed what he did with it. So I'd like to see him do it again. Just because of like how creative it was. And like it had so much Christmas spirit in it. I loved it. Even if it was corny or kind of stupid.
Yeah.
That's like the point of them sometimes.
Maybe I would say Ben Stiller because I believe he's directed a couple of his films. I mean, he directed Zoolander, Tropic Thunder, Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be really great at directing a comedic Christmas film.
That's true. Wasn't Amy Adams in one of the movies he did, and that's kind of like Christmassy? Night at the Museum. I don't remember which one. I think it's the last one. She plays like Amelia Earhart.
I had to rewatch those films. My memory is very blurry.
I like her. She gives like just sweet, innocent, wholesome vibes. And I'm still upset she hasn't won an Oscar. She should have won it for Arrival. That gives me Christmas vibes. I don't know why. It just gives me a vibe that it came out on Christmas Day. I think that's just like all of her movies.
No.
I don't know. It just kind of, I was mind blown to find out that she got with Jeremy Renner's character towards the end. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. How did she learn to speak to these things? I don't think I would have ever gotten past 1 minute. I don't even know how she did that. You wonder why she didn't win an Oscar. Because I'm like, to do that is talent. She talked to something that didn't talk. That just showed like shapes and stuff.
Maybe that will be my... Maybe we should do... Since Oscar season is gearing up, mm-hmm. perhaps we should talk about that. People that have been snubbed for Oscars.
Oh, right now?
I got a list
already, man.
I mean, if you want to save it for a future episode, that's fine. If you want to discuss now, that's also fine.
We could probably do it closer to award season. I'm kind of upset, though, with his three daughters, because I'm like, they're not getting the recognition that they should be. Just like when you like read how they did the film, like everything that went into it and just all the performances, how they really mashed well together. Just upsetting. Netflix is not doing a very good job at promoting that film.
Oh my God. They are like, Netflix is like Sony when it comes to promoting their material.
Yeah, they're really going downhill. There was like something I was like, oh, they're really going downhill. Now I can't think of what I thought it was happening. Like Apple's kind of going downhill a little bit, just with the movies that have come out recently. I don't know. So many things go in my mind. I am excited though for Complete Unknown. I do want to see that on Christmas Day.
Which one?
It is Timothée Chalamet. He portrays Bob Dylan, who I thought he died.
Oh,
because like biopics are usually done when that person is dead.
Yeah, that's true.
So in my defense, I had thought he had passed away, but I hear very good things about it. Also, Timothée Chalamet is on SideQuest going on like college football shows or something. And I'm like, oh, that's very random, but let's go for it, man.
Go ahead, Tim.
After seeing Dune Part 2, my perception of him has completely changed to a positive one. I was like, before I just did not get it, and I didn't like the first Dune, but then I like watch a second one, and I'm like, hold up, let me watch the first one again. And I like absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was just okay, but yeah, I think the problem is a lot of people kept comparing him to Leo. And
yeah, I think Leo is like a mentor of his.
Yeah. And Leo is exceptional, but I think it's too early to compare and contrast.
Yeah, the only actor of that generation that I think could be compared to anybody is Saoirse Ronan. Just because she has a lot of awards. She's very talented. I heard her sing for Blitz. I haven't seen Blitz yet, but I have to. It's a Steve McQueen film. And I'm like, whoa, this woman's so talented.
Like, I will say,
be an Oscar winner one day.
I will say, Saoirse.
The girl from Lady Bird. Just say that.
Yeah, the Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah.
And Timmy. Uh-huh. Their dynamic. It kind of reminds me of a second Leo and Kate Winslet.
I love Kate Winslet. She should have so many Oscars by now, but she doesn't, and it sucks. Leo, kind of.
He should. He won for the wrong one.
Yeah, The Revenant's an okay movie, but it's not an Oscar movie. That's another Christmas movie, I guess. Tom Hardy was snubbed so hard. Yeah, Tom Hardy was snubbed so hard in that movie. Hate to break it to everybody. He's snubbed in every movie he's in.
Yeah, in my humble opinion, I think that, he should have won for either The Departed or Wolf of Wall Street.
Margot Robbie should have won for that, and I, Tonya. Another one that I think is being overlooked this award season is Bike Riders.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Jodie Comer, my gosh. If you listen to her and compare it to the original Jack, like, uncanny. It is amazing. And she has a Tony. She has an Emmy. She is so close to an EGOT, guys. We got to get her a Grammy, and then we got to get her that Oscar. She is so close. She needs Oscar movies. She was in, not The Northman. What's a movie that she was in with Ben Affleck again? And it's like a period-ish piece. Matt Damon's in it.
You're talking about The Last Duel.
Yeah. Like, I haven't seen that one yet, just because I did not vibe with what they were, like, the themes about it. So I didn't watch it, but I think she could win an Oscar very soon.
If
that Bike Riders is not getting pushed.
If anything, I feel like it would be in the, it should at least get a nomination for adapted screenplay.
Mm-hmm. And costume design.
And sound mixing, just the sound of the bikes revving. I love it.
And Tom Hardy, I'm sorry, but I couldn't understand a single word you said, but you looked good saying it.
Exactly.
He's like, murmur, murmur, murmur. Honestly, Tom, what are you saying? I can't understand you. I love that movie.
As much as I love Tom Hardy, he's a badass. I feel like he's kind of like Samuel Jackson and Robert De Niro at this point, where they're better in supporting roles.
You know what? That might be true. Django Unchained, phenomenal. But he was better in the supporting role. I completely agree.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I love that movie. He'll win his Oscar one day. I think it still should have been for The Warrior, because I don't think I've ever seen a movie that has made me feel that type of way before. And it was just A++++, and I would watch it every day if I could.
I can't wait to discuss this next episode.
Yeah, and we also got to discuss, why is it that movies that were released earlier in the year don't do as well towards the end of the year in regards to award season? And it's like, does that affect their ability to be pushed, or does that mean they don't have the confidence in it? I'd love to know.
And I haven't. Are you going to the theaters on Christmas Day?
I don't think I am, because we signed up to do some volunteering. TBD if that still happens. We all go based day to day here in this family. It depends on what's happened. But yeah, let's do our last topic to end out a good one. What are your top three favorite Christmas movies of all time?
I'm going to let you start first.
Okay. I'm going to start off strong. It's a Wonderful Life will always be the most beautiful Christmas movie ever made. I just cannot get enough of that. And I don't know why that the pool, when it opens up in the movie, like, it always scared me, like, getting stuck under that, even though those types of pools don't really exist anymore being made. Next, The Holiday. That is the best Jack Black movie. Like, for her to be able to do that with that type of actor, or just character in general, is just mind-blowing. And just her set design, it never disappoints. Her kitchen, they never disappoint. You don't think the film would work, but it does work. What another one? It's hard, because I, like, always go back and forth. I really love, like, Home Alone, but, like, I'd call CPS on the parents. So I'm like, Christmas with the Cranks is really good. I love Elf. Jon Favreau is my favorite director of all time. I feel like I'd probably have to go with the Silver Linings Playbook. Yes, I consider that a Christmas movie. And I don't care what anybody says, even though it's kind of like technically between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay, that's good.
You were looking for ideas.
No. I was just thinking, now, if it took place like throughout the year and landed on Christmas, I'd be like, I'd question that. But since it takes place during Thanksgiving and Christmas, I guess you could call it a double whammy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Little Women ends on Christmas Day, and I've always considered that a Christmas movie. Hello? We're pausing.
I'm sorry about that.
You can edit this part out.
Yes. Okay, Home Alone 1 or 2, which one do you like better?
I like the first one more. I don't like the second one because they went way beyond kidnapping. Now they're stalking the kid.
Oh, yeah, that's... I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I was like, you could have gone to any other house, but now you've, like, literally elevated to kidnapping.
Yeah, okay, I'd say The Holdovers.
Oh, no, I changed my mind. I'm going to put that as my list. I'm going to put that on my list. Just because of that movie. I love that movie. I'm taking out that last movie. I'm putting that as my list. Well, It's a Wonderful Life, The Holiday, and The Holdovers. I forgot.
Yes, I accidentally ran into that film. I was just trying to complete my 2023 list towards the end of the year last year.
It's a hidden gem.
Yeah.
And it gives you like some type of feeling that you don't necessarily get from a movie.
Yes, and it's a great balance between humor and finding that Christmas feel where the characters learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And when they find out, the teacher and the student find out that they take the same medication, that was really like, that was a like a heart pounder.
Mm-hmm. He's like, which eye do I look at? He's like, this one. I don't remember what eye he said, but that one always got me.
Yeah. Also, I really like something from Tiffany's that's on Amazon Prime, and it has Zoe Dutch in it, and she's a rom-com queen, in my opinion.
I love that movie, too. It's a hidden gem. That's another like hidden one that I don't think a lot of people talk about.
And and Klaus.
What?
Klaus.
Never heard of it.
Klaus.
Oh, the Tim Allen movies?
No. It's a animated Christmas film that it came out in 2019. It was nominated for Oscar for Best Animated Film. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it.
So not a Tim Allen movie.
No.
I've never seen this, but I thought that's what you were talking about. You were just pronouncing it fancy.
Yeah, but it's spelled with a K instead of with a C.
Okay.
But it's about this kid named Jesper. He went to a postal academy. He's basically a mailman, and his dad sends him to this small town, and he has to deliver at least 1,000 letters to come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of a life lesson. His dad wants to teach him about hard work, and everything from there leads up to him practically inventing Christmas, but by accident.
Okay. I'll have to put that one on my list. I do have the movie Mary on my list, and that is Jesus's mother.
Yeah.
It has not come out in theaters, and I don't know. I saw parts of the trailer, and you know how things are. I don't really want to watch trailers anymore because it just gives away everything that they want to tell.
It right.
It's a Christmas movie. I'm going to watch it to see how it keeps with the Bible and stuff, but it looks like a really cute movie too.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
The trailer, I try not to watch a trailer, but I try to like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like hard. Like, parts of what I've seen look really good. And it's just like it follows her story.
Yeah.
And I just think it's very beautiful to tell something like that. Just to, like, know what she went through. Because, like, she still saw her son up on that cross. So, she's probably so mortified. Definitely was mortified.
Oh, is this the one that came out this year?
Yeah, it came out on Friday.
Oh, damn. I did
it's
not.
It's a Netflix movie. So I'll be the judge if it's okay or if it's making fun of, like, the Bible. Okay. If it is, then I'm turning it off.
Yeah, because there are there's way too much of that.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good movie for, like, a big studio to have and put out Christmas Day, because I think we need more Christmas Day movies that are, like, Christmas theme. Like Baby Girl, I'll still see it, not on Christmas Day, because I just don't think that's appropriate to see on that day.
Just don't watch it with your parents.
Yeah, no, I won't be doing that. I'll probably watch it at home. But yeah, I think there needs to be more of a push to put more wholesome movies, family movies, maybe biopics, loosely based or entirely truly based on true stories. Like, that would be really nice to see, and advocate for Jennifer Lawrence, the movie Christmas Queen, to come back.
I concur.
But yeah, that is episode 20 of our Christmas episode. But yeah, my name is Jalen, your co-host. You can find me at Lost in Life Translation on Instagram, TikTok, Jalen Sanderson on Twitter, Sandra Loves Movies on Letterboxd, or just go in the link in my bio. Everything's in there. But with the TikTok issue happening, we'll see what that. We'll still be here as always. And Craig, where can they find you?
On all socials, you can find me, Craig Jr. 97. But my YouTube is all nerd everything, and I'm transitioning over there because with this TikTok ban that they got going, God.
I technically have a YouTube, but I never found any luck with it. But I think it's under, like, Lost in Life Translation or something like that.
Yeah, I'm switching over to YouTube. I'm still doing TikTok. However, I'm just a little cautious because I don't know if it's going to get overturned or not.
Kind of taking away the freedom of speech. We do not need to become North Korea. That's all I'll say about right. that. But yeah, you can catch us on our website. We got some new articles up, new reviews up. You're welcome to comment. Let us know on our videos what you want to see on our website. But yeah, that's episode 20 of our holiday edition. Again, I'm Jalen, joined by the amazing Craig. Have a beautiful evening. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.